One of the unique things about TEC has been, at least in my own church experience, and I think this is true for many people as well, one of the things that has been unique is the celebration of communion every week. At the beginning, some were concerned. I don't know if I had the same concern that it would become rote or just routine, and therefore we would not care about it because we were so familiar with it. I think my concern was more, how can I be a part of it not becoming routine? How can in my own heart and in the meditation that we do, how can that be meaningful week by week and bring about the right sort of affections and response? So that has been a new experience, I think, for a lot of us to be able to so frequently enjoy one of the two ordinances that we have. So that weekly communion is a big deal. And how we do that weekly communion obviously is intended to be a time, while sober, a time of celebration. So we can't escape from the fact that Jesus died and that he died unjustly, but that he did rise again, and that because he died and rose again, that means that we are drawn into fellowship with him, and that is because peace is now made between us. So it's a time of joy, even as it's a time of remembering the cost to give us that joy. And because we work to celebrate that communion week by week, I think that has in my own mind, again, in the minds of some that I've talked to as well, that has actually put even more emphasis on the other ordinance of baptism. It seems that the general practice in the New Testament is that you do the baptism ordinance first and once, and then you participate in the communion ordinance for the rest of your life. And if that communion is so full of joy as we want it to be, if it is a cause of uniting us together as a people, knitting us together as the church, then to get to participate in that is a big deal, which means that getting to baptism is a big deal as well. So baptism is a big deal because the Lord commanded it. He told his disciples that they were to go into all nations, and baptism was a part of that making disciples. It was an immediate initial part. And so we've understood that baptism is a big deal for a long time. But again, as a church, as we see baptism opening the door into that ongoing communion and fellowship as a people, then it takes on, I think, an additional layer of significance. So tonight we have two young ladies who are going to profess their faith in the waters of baptism after they share their testimonies. And this is an opportunity not only for them to declare their allegiance publicly, but also for the entire body to be encouraged. So one of the things we talked about before the service started was that this is an opportunity for you all to be blessed, and potentially some who may be in similar life situations to even be challenged, and for all of us to be encouraged together. So two sisters, not just sisters in Christ, though they are that as well. And we'll start with Lauren Kitts.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and this is my testimony. So I was born and raised in a home with Christian parents. We went to church every Sunday morning and prayed before every meal. We did all the Christian things to do, so I was a Christian, right? What I didn't realize was why we did all of those things. I got that we were worshiping God, but to me, I just did those things because that was what my family did. I won't lie, I never could figure out why I listened to my teachers at Sunday school, why I tried to memorize the most verses in Awana. My heart was never in it, but I wasn't aware of that until a year ago. Back in Sunday school, I prayed the prayer. I did what I was supposed to do to become a Christian, but I couldn't figure out why I wasn't experiencing this amazing change in my life that all my elders spoke about. So I prayed the prayer like once a month, just waiting for God to do his thing, but it never really happened. Eventually, I gave up. I decided that obviously there wasn't a God because he didn't answer any of my prayers. I never noticed a change in my life, and no God experience I was told about ever happened. I questioned how everyone could talk about this imaginary dude for 2 hours and act like they had something in common. So eventually, I tried to distance myself from everything and anything that had to do with Christianity. I decided my life would be easier if I didn't consider myself a part of that, and I wouldn't have to follow more rules I didn't agree with because I didn't believe in the Supreme Court justice of Christianity. However, after trying to fill that hole in my life with relationships, Twitter-pated feelings, and friendships, I realized something was lacking. There was something in my life that was missing, and I was trying to replace it with anything and everything that couldn't do the job. Finally, I realized what it was. It was all around me. It was in the trees that I saw covering flat land, rolling hills, and all the mountains surrounding my town. It was the way the oceans flowed, their tides ever-changing, and it was the food chains and webs, how everything was so intricate, and there was no other explanation. There was a creator, and as much as I had wanted to deny his existence, he was there. After I came to grips with the fact that there is a God, I then had to make some changes in my life. So I prayed the prayer again, only this time I meant it. I started to notice God making changes in my life, while I also tried to make changes in my life. I tried to not be disrespectful to my parents, which I had done a lot of in the year before. I tried to have a joyful attitude in everything I did and to obey without having to know why. After doing all of these things, I noticed that I had matured drastically compared to my behavior the year before. I knew I was headed in the right direction. Next, I noticed that I was enjoying going to church. It wasn't just something that I had to do. It was something that I looked forward to. So this brings me to where I am today. And I can now proudly say that I am a Christian and know that I mean it.
Okay, so Lauren, why do you want to get baptized?
I want to get baptized because I believe that God has called me to do so. And I want it to be a public like display that I actually have changed and decided to follow the Lord. And not just something that I've said, but something that everybody can see.
Okay, so is this saving you? Or are you already saved and this is doing something else? So
I'm already saved. I know that. But I think this, like I said before, helps to show that and help everybody else to be aware of that.
So the thing that saves you, if you had to summarize it in one word, we didn't talk about this downstairs, but what's the one thing you need to be saved?
You need Jesus.
Yeah, you need Jesus to believe in Jesus. So there's no external work that we can do.
Right.
That makes him accept us. He accepts us based on our faith and what he did. And then what does... So this is a public symbol. And what is it symbolizing? What does this show?
It symbolizes your death and your leaving of sin. And then you're dying with Christ. And then you're being brought back again as a new person through Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. So the representation of being buried with him, that's the going down under the water part, which is what sprinkling, I mean the people who practice sprinkling as their form of baptism, they miss that part of the symbolism. So the being buried with him in the likeness of his death and then raised to walk in the newness of life. So that's the symbol of going under the water and coming back up. So that's good. So you said... You spent a while, and I mean growing up in a Christian home, you've heard a lot of sermons, lots of family discussions, but maybe to somebody else whose family is always bringing them to church, who's having spiritual conversations at home, but maybe another young person who's in a spot where, like you were, they're questioning whether God exists, they're questioning why they don't have certain experiences. Do you have any recommendations or counsel for somebody like that?
Don't rebel. Like, do what your parents are telling you, even if it doesn't make sense at the time. Rebelling is not going to fix anything. It's just going to make your situation worse. And then, like, read your Bible, because as much as people that you know that have read the Bible know the things to tell you, it's very different coming from the Bible itself. And if you read from there and you get, like, help and good words, I guess, it'll help encourage you much more.
Yeah, the exhortation to confession this morning, and then a couple other conversations that I've had recently and including today, talking about how obedience is the great opener of eyes. And sometimes people are waiting for more information before then they obey. And when in fact, if they obeyed, their eyes might be opened. So that was a fantastic but interesting piece of counsel, because that's what you led with as well when we talked before, like, just don't rebel. Like, obey, and that will help. And then I think reading the Bible firsthand is also great, because it's not like it's inaccessible, and rather than listening to something secondhand, to go right to the Word is extremely valuable. So that's great. So, Lauren, based on your profession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Allison. So my testimony is that I had been raised in a Christian home, and like my sister, I was told growing up, like, what you're supposed to do and what you're not, and this is why, and here's where you figure it out, and all that stuff. But I had struggled with feeling like God was a part of my life, even though I had asked Him into my heart many times. First time was when I was 8 years old, and I moved to Darrington, and all my friends were gone. I was like, why are you doing this to me, God? And all that fun stuff. But past that, I was always feeling like I didn't have to change anything. There was always someone else around me that had to change something. Right up until my sophomore year, after a couple times of getting turned upside down and realizing how I was affecting the lives of everyone around me, and that Christ was not really the center of my life. I mean, I believed it. I believed that there was a God and that there was Jesus and that I needed Him, but I had not applied that to my life. And while I was sitting in the back of the car on my way to small groups sophomore year, I realized that I not only needed to understand that there was a Savior, but I needed there to be a Lord over my life. And I decided right there that was when I was going to give my life over to God. From there on, it's just been a struggle back and forth of feeling like I have not been faithful enough, or the reason it took me 5 years to be able to get the guts to get baptized was I never felt like I was Christian enough to be able to profess Christianity, which is bogus. No one ever is going to be worthy of claiming Christ, but He still offers that gift to us. And had to get over that little lump of pride there for a little bit. But I've come to the point where I understand that, yeah, I am not perfect, but I have asked the Lord into my heart, and He has helped to grow me and is still continuing to grow me in my family and day-to-day life and at school, and I want to be identified with Him. That's where I belong.
So, same question as to Lauren. Why do you want to be baptized?
It is because I want to be identified as a Christian with Christ to the church, and also because I know that He has commanded it, was the main motivator for a while. I was like, you're supposed to do this. I know. I'll do it someday. I will.
But yeah. Yeah, so when you were talking about the part of, you know, professing faith in Christ some 5 years ago, and then it's taken you until now to get baptized, and that some of it has been the struggle of good seasons and bad seasons. I'm going to tell everybody what I had mentioned to you, that baptism, at least according to Paul in Romans chapter 6, Baptism is actually intended to be one of the God-given weapons to us for our fight in sanctification. So too oftentimes people have believed that they need to be at a higher stage of sanctification before then they participate in the symbol of that sanctification, when in fact it's the opposite way around. So Paul says in Romans chapter 6, the part where we're buried with him in the likeness of death and raised to walk in newness of life, that's in a passage that is exhorting believers to reckon their justification as true, to reckon and consider their unity with Christ as something true, and they're supposed to look back at their baptism as a way to keep fighting sin. So in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of those low seasons, one of the weapons, one of the tools that God has given us is our baptism. And too often, again, by telling someone, you know what, you fight for your sanctification and then we'll baptize you, it's like sending a soldier into a fight without a weapon. You go defeat sin and then we'll give you the weapon. When in fact Romans 6 says you get the weapon, and that's one of the things you use to fight the sin. So I really think that your obedience now, your public identification, and this baptism is going to be not something that eliminates all of your struggles going forward, but is one of the tools that God will give you to fight that. So that's a good thing. And I think that should encourage more people who are like, well, I'm not worthy enough yet to get baptized. Well, like you said, we're never worthy. We never arrive at that spot. And some would do better to just do it and obey and then have that as part of their weaponry. So in that sophomore year, when you were back in the back of the car on your way to small group and you realized something needed to change, both in an answer to that question and then in an answer to somebody else who may be sitting out there and is sick of where they're at. They're sick of not submitting to a Lord or of trying to be their own Lord, trying to do it all for themselves. So what process did you go through in thinking as you were coming to Christ? Or in other words, how would you tell somebody out there who is sick of what's happening that they should then come to Christ themselves?
First off, don't give up the struggle. Your life's worth more than that. No matter how tough it gets and how many answers you don't seem to have, don't give up. It's a really dumb idea. And beyond that, trying to be your own boss really messes everything up. That became pretty clear a little later than it should have. But honestly, it's much more freeing and a lot more pleasant of a life when you know that you have someone who you can trust and who cares about you, who is in control and is leading you towards being that better person that you've been trying so hard to be.
So I think that is a way to describe how we experience when God is granting repentance to turn us away from our love of sin or our love of self, which really is another way to describe rebellion. So he deserves our submission. And when we are trying to rule things for ourselves, that's sin. So when he is granting us repentance, one of the ways that could be described is turning away from trying to be the boss and putting ourselves underneath him to be the boss. And of course, it's his death that paid for our rebellion, and his life that is our hope of salvation from rebellion and even from the penalty of our rebellion. So that is a reminder that he does care enough to draw us out of what's miserable and draw us into life of submitting to him. So Allison, based on your profession of faith, it is my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I do not get tired of thinking about the weaponry that baptism is supposed to be, and even as I said at the beginning, how that relates to the weaponry of communion. So it's almost as if the Lord who gave us those ordinances, those commands, knew the blessings that he was giving to us. So yes, it is a public identification with the body of Christ. Yes, it is a declaration of allegiance that, you know, the person who is being baptized says, I am going to serve the Lord rather than serve myself. But it is also intended to be that encouragement of the spiritual realities of who we are in Christ. So ideally, once in your life, you are identified with him in his death and resurrection, and then you regularly get to think about that. And hopefully even those of you who have been baptized and are here tonight are taking that opportunity to thank the Lord for your own baptism. If you knew at your baptism what you knew now, well, that would have been different, but that's not really how he wanted it to be. Kind of like there's no real way to tell a couple who's getting married everything that's coming, the good and the challenging. So it is at our baptisms. Very rarely do we know everything that's coming when it comes to following Christ. But it's good. And we're supposed to remember that we have made that declaration and that he has worked in us to bring that about. And it is very much intended to be a way that we fight for righteousness. So he declares us righteous by faith, not because we get baptized. But then as we remember what baptism is symbolizing, then we have a weapon to fight for more righteousness in our lives. So we ought to pray for Lauren and Allison and their fight for righteousness going forward. And then we also ought to be examples of pursuing that righteousness. Those of us who have been baptized, those of us who are taking communion week by week and worshiping the Lord, we ought to be examples and encouragements again in that fight. So let me pray toward that end, and those who are going to lead in a couple more songs can come forward at this time as well, and I'll pray. Father, thank you for Lauren and for Allison. Thank you for their family, for Lou and Roxanne as mom and dad, for their opportunity to present truth, not just week by week, year by year, but day by day, to expose their ladies, their daughters, to the goodness of the gospel. And thank you that you have worked in the lives of Lauren and Allison, even to bring them to this spot where they publicly made their declaration. And I ask on behalf of all of us, part of this body, that you would give them great encouragement in their discipleship. They have obeyed you to be baptized. May you find them continuing to grow in their obedience, obeying everything that your Son has commanded as his disciples. Help us as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage and exhort and admonish as necessary, to provide examples of what it looks like further down the road, that they would not just see, but that they would desire and be drawn to, be attracted to. And may you be honored as your Son's name is lifted up. So thank you for him. Otherwise, there's no reason to put water in a tub and have some people get wet other than just for fun. But you are the one who commanded us to do this. We ask that you would add your blessing to it. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.